Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verses 18 through 24. Luke 9, 18 through 24. Now it happened that as he was praying alone, the disciples were with him, and he asked them, "Who do the crowds say that I am?" And they answered, "John the Baptist, but others say Elijah, and others that one of the prophets of the old has risen." Then he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered, "The Christ of God." And he strictly charged and commanded them to tell no one, saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised." And he said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. If we haven't met yet, my name's Bennett Ellison. I'm the pastoral associate here at Church of the Cross. I'm grateful to be with you this morning. And I'd like for us to pray together one more time as we go to God's word. And I invite you to pray with me and pray for me as well. So let's pray. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Lord, we come in this time to your holy word, your inspired text. And we pray, Lord, that all else would fade away in this time. That our eyes would behold your glory in the living word, in the person of Jesus Christ. Lord, it's not about Bennett and my words, my ideas. It's not about our band. It's not about doing church. It's about gathering together, Lord, as your people to seek your face, to hear you speak to us. So, Lord, open our hearts, open our ears to hear. He who has ears, let him hear. Father, I ask that as I teach this text, you would allow me to teach it with accuracy, and that as I preach the word, you would allow me to preach it with authority by the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray all of this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. This past summer, my family and I went on a little family vacation to Florida, and I got to do something that I've been waiting my whole life to do, and that is, for the first time ever, to go deep sea fishing. I was so excited. We had a great day. I actually brought a picture with us here. As you know, every good fisherman, you got to show your catch, right? So I couldn't waste an opportunity. This was what we caught, what I caught, one of the fish. And the way this worked, this fishing trip, we were staying next to some family friends of ours, and one of the guys in that household, his name is Ryan. And Ryan is a captain of his boat where he does fishing charters for a living. And he told us, "Hey guys, you know, I have one day off this week. Would you guys want to go out on the water? I'll take you fishing." And we're like, "We would love to." So we went over to Captain Ryan's house and we got in his boat. Then we headed out from there. And we started heading out into the deep blue sea. And we kept heading out and kept heading out. And when I looked back, you know, all the buildings and all the things that were there started to get smaller and disappear. And before I knew it, we were 22 miles out into the middle of the ocean. And I remember looking around and I was like, "Man, there are no landmarks around. There's no buoys. There's no other boats here right now." And as we'd be driving, Captain Ryan would just all of a sudden stop. And he would say, "All right, guys, you can drop your lines here. All right, so we'd drop, we'd fish, catch some fish. And then after a while, he'd say, all right, you go ahead and pull the lines up. We'll keep moving. And then we kept going. And a few minutes later, all of a sudden, he would stop again. And I'm like, okay, I guess we're stopping here. And he goes, all right, go ahead and drop your lines. And we'd do this cycle over and over again, about four or five different stops on this fishing journey. And I remember we were probably two or three stops in, and I leaned over to my dad, and I said, Dad, you know, I don't want to be that guy and ask the question, but do you think Captain Ryan, like, knows where he's taking us? Because as I look around, there are no landmarkers. There's literally nothing around. And, like, we're coming up on spots, and he tells us to drop the line here, and we catch fish. Like, do you think he knows, or does he just have, like, that gut instinct? I don't know how that works. And my dad said, Bennett, you can rest assured that Captain Ryan knows exactly where he's taking us on this journey. So I went over to Ryan, and I looked, and right next to his steering wheel was a little GPS. And on that GPS, before we even got on the boat, every stop on the journey was already marked out. He knew every stop. And it got me thinking, there's a lot of parallels between that fishing trip with Captain Ryan and our faith journey. Friends, when you say yes to follow Jesus, you get into the boat. And here's the good news for us. It might not sound like good news, but trust me, it is. We're not the captain of the boat. Jesus is. And as we get out into the deep blue ocean of life, maybe you look around and you're like, where are we going? Does he know where he's taking us? And I come to let you know today, friends, that Jesus knows every single stop along the journey that he's taking you on. In our text today, Jesus himself gives us a little bit of a roadmap of what his journey is going to look like. He tells us in the text, and we'll put it up here, for Jesus' journey, he says that he's going to suffer many things. He says that he's going to be rejected. That's another stop on the journey. He said there's going to be a death and that there will be a resurrection, that he will be raised on the third day. That's Jesus' roadmap. And all of these stops along Jesus' journey are most clearly seen when we see it through the lens of the cross. When we think about Jesus' cross, it's through the cross that Jesus suffered physically, that he was beaten, tortured, pierced. It's at the cross that Jesus faced rejection. In the text, Jesus says directly that he's going to be rejected by the elders, by the chief priest, by the scribes, the Jewish leaders of his day. As John would put it in the beginning of his gospel, in the fourth gospel, John writes that Jesus came to his own and his own did not receive him. He was going to be rejected. It's at the cross of Calvary where the eternal Son of God, the source of all life, experienced death. The most inconceivable thought in all of the world, that God has died. And friends, it's from the cross of Calvary that Jesus would fulfill his promise that he would be raised on the third day. To summarize all of this, we could put it this way. The roadmap for Jesus was a journey to the cross. No other way around it, friends. His journey was a journey to the cross. But then that leaves us today with the question, what about us, right? That was Jesus' journey. We read about it in Scripture. Everything led to the cross for him. But what about us? And friends, I think this is where the tension is for us. There's a danger here that we need to be careful of as followers of Jesus. And the danger is this, that we think Jesus had his journey and that ours is a completely different one. We're in danger, perhaps, of thinking that, well, Jesus' journey was tough. And because of that, because of what he did, therefore, now my journey can be easy. That Jesus suffered and was rejected so that I don't have to. Or maybe you've heard it said, Jesus took the cross I deserved so that I don't have to. But friends, hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ directly from verse 23 of chapter 9. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. If we could kind of paraphrase it, I'd put it this way. The roadmap for Jesus was a journey to the cross, and the roadmap for Jesus' followers is a journey of joining him in his cross. That was his journey, and friends, it is our journey. This Christian walk, following Jesus, we get to join him in the cross. So it's not Jesus' cross so that I can get out of mine. It's Jesus went to the cross so I know where I can join him. That as I suffer, he suffers with me. As I enter into rejection, he knows what it's like. And in, friends, hear me. In some mysterious way, you personally meet Christ in that place. Wherever you bear your cross, where you take it up daily. But all of us, if we're going to be followers of Jesus, faithful followers, and I'll tell you, friends, just I want to be a faithful follower of Jesus with all my heart. I want to be. But that means I and all of us have to take up the cross. So what does that look like? I want to spend just a few moments for the rest of this sermon talking about what does that roadmap for the Christian journey look like? If Jesus bore his cross and took it up and we're called to take up our cross, what does it look like? A few ideas. The first one is this. The journey requires denial. The journey requires denial. Once again, verse 23. If anyone would come after me, if we're going to follow him, or if we're going to come after him, Jesus invites us, let him deny himself. Aspect of denial. And here's how this really works out. Practically. And this works in all areas of life, friends. You can test it in different seasons, but I think especially when it comes to the Christian journey, every yes to something is saying no to something else. Every yes to something is saying no to something else, and vice versa. Saying no to something means you're going to be saying yes to something else. I think back on Jesus's life and ministry when he's in the garden. The night before he goes to the cross, he's praying to the Father, recognizing that the cross is before him. And remember what he says? Father, if there's any other way, but not my will, your will be done. Jesus is saying no to that part of him that wants to get out of this. If there's any other way, Jesus says, no, not my will, but by saying no to my will, we are saying yes to God's will, to the Father's will in that way. For all of us, every time we say no to ourselves, we get the opportunity to say yes to something greater. Over the past year or so, I've been super intrigued with the story of Lewis and Clark. You know, it's just one of those stories where I'm like, there has to be more details than what they told us in school. Right? Like, you have a group of guys, they pack their bags, and they just go out into the wilderness. Like, for a long time, they just journey and, like, document everything, and, like, they all end up fine and get back. It's a fascinating story to me as they figure out and they discover things out to the west. And after the Lewis and Clark expedition, that led to a lot of people realizing, oh, wait, we can go west too. And that led to, throughout the 19th century, in the 1800s, the Oregon Trail. The the Oregon Trail. Some of my earliest memories are on the computer, was playing the Oregon Trail game, right? And you're those American settlers, and you're going out west. And so over several decades in the 19th century, it is estimated that tens of thousands of people in wagons started heading west. They saw the trail, and they just started going west, 2,200 miles of prairie, desert, and mountains. And as tens of thousands of people were going that way, you could start to see some patterns. And here's what, as people started following in that trail, here's what they saw. This is really interesting. That along the Oregon Trail, and different routes you took, there were certain places where people would drop off, discard a bunch of extra cargo that they had packed. Fascinating. Can you imagine, like, you're just riding in this buggy, in this wagon, you're going on this trail that thousands of people have gone before you, you get to this point, and off the side to the trail, just tons of things dropped off there. Why is that? Because all those people that were expanding west, here's what they realized. If we are going to finish the journey, if we are going to get to our end destination, then there's some things that we can't bring. There are some things that we have to let go of that are hindering us, that are weighing us down. The load is too heavy. So if we're going to finish this course, we're going to have to say no to some things and dropped it off. Friends, if you have said yes to Jesus, if you have gotten into his boat, then there are things within us that we have to discard. There are some things within us that if we're going to finish this race faithfully, we're going to have to say no to, so that we can say yes to finishing well. And I would just invite you, I'm not going to like prescribe it for you, but I guarantee you, if you ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, would you show me what's in me that I need to start saying no to in order to say yes to you, he'll show you. Guarantee. If you want help with this, please come talk to our pastoral staff. We would love to walk with you and to help join you in listening to the Holy Spirit and what that might be. If we're going to say yes to him, yes to finishing the trail, yes to finishing the journey well, it means we're going to have to say no to some things, deny some things. Final point that I want to leave with you is this. The journey requires a cross, but it does not end in a cross. The journey requires, right? If anyone's going to come after me, deny himself daily and take up his cross daily. But it does not end in a cross. Do you remember Jesus' roadmap as he laid it out in the text in verse 22? The Son of Man, talking about himself, Jesus says, the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and scribes, be killed, and then on the third day, be raised. Friends, here's what Jesus knew. That his body, all of himself, offered up to the Father as a sacrifice, as an offering, whatever is offered up to the Father, even if it experiences death, death is not the end. That the promise of God, seen in the person of Jesus Christ, is that though there is a death, the story does not end in death. The story ends in resurrection. And friends, do we remember the good news? This is not just Jesus' journey. This is your journey as well. Here's how Paul puts it in Romans chapter 6, verse 5. Paul says, "For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." Friends, this is the promise of God to you. On one hand, In our physical bodies, yes, all of us will experience a physical death. And what we say in our creeds as Christians, that we believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting, Christ was raised bodily, we will be raised bodily. Praise God. And every single day, we are given the opportunity to crucify something of our flesh. Temptations, desires that pull us from the love of God, that oppose his heart for you, that oppose his character, that oppose his design for you to flourish. We all have opportunities to put something to death every single day. And here's the hope for all of us who are in Christ Jesus. Whatever you put to death for his glory, for his sake, he will raise it up to newness of life. He will bring resurrection to whatever you crucify in yourself. What does that look like? If the Holy Spirit reveals to you, there's some pride in this heart. Crucify it. And where we crucify our pride for Christ's sake, the promise of God is that he will resurrect that offering and bring humility. When you feel the need to get, when you're in an argument with someone, maybe a friend, a loved one, or a stranger, whoever, coworker, whatever it is, when you feel that need to have the last word, crucify it. And when you crucify the need to have the last word, the Holy Spirit resurrects that into empathetic listening, where you can seek understanding before being understood. When you feel the need to gossip, when we, Bennett included, when we feel the need to gossip, and we recognize it, may the Holy Spirit give us spiritual awareness. When we recognize it, we crucify it, and the Holy Spirit resurrects that into hearts that seek to honor and to bless. May God make that a reality for us, friends. Seeking every opportunity to honor, to bless one another with our words. And where there is bitterness in us, when the Holy Spirit makes us aware of a bitter, hardened heart, we offer it up to God. We crucify it with Christ. And the Holy Spirit resurrects contentment in our soul where we can say with all honesty, it is well with my soul, whatever my lot. It is well. Friends, if you've said yes to following Jesus, and the invitation's open today for all of us, we're getting into his boat. We're not the captain. He knows where he's taking us, every single step. And what we've seen in Jesus and what we join him in is that it's going to take suffering. It's going to be us experiencing rejection. It's going to be us experiencing a death. What do we need to crucify in us? What do we need to say no to in order to say yes to the person, the living person of Jesus Christ? And as we say yes to him, as we crucify the sin in us, the end of the journey in Christ is always resurrection. I pray all of us experience that resurrection power today. You do not have to wait until your last breath on earth to experience the resurrection power of Christ. It can happen today. So I invite the band, imagine they're in the back, I'm gonna invite them to come on out. And I just wanna let you know, we're about to go into a time of song, music. And I'll be the first one to say it, friends. There are things I need to repent of. There are things that I need to crucify today. And I trust that as I crucify those things, the promise of God is that he will raise it in a newness of life. That if I join him in his cross today, I will join him in his resurrection. And I invite you, friends, to join me in that as we join Christ in that. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal those things in us. Let's see what he has in store. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus Christ, we look to you. There's nowhere else to go, Lord. Lord, as we look inwardly, there's a lot of things, Lord, that we've been saying yes to that we need to say no to. And as painful as it is, Lord, would those inward decisions of saying no to those things, Lord, be out of our yes to you? Fix our eyes on you, Lord. Lord, as we join you in your cross, we thank you that the cross is not the end. That the promise by your example, Jesus, is that whatever is crucified, whatever is offered up to the Father for your sake, for your glory, you will raise to newness of life and resurrection power. And Lord, I pray over this room. I pray over every single heart under the sound of my voice, Lord. I pray over every family, every marriage, every student. We need your resurrection power, Jesus. So come and do it now. Have your way in this time. Help us follow you. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And friends, I'll be down front if you need to pray with someone. We'll have people in the back by the cross if you need to pray with someone. Let us join him in bearing our cross.